Joan Didion died in 2021, but interest in her life and work has only increased since then. I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marian Winnick reviews three new books about various aspects of the life of the influential essayist and pioneer of new journalism. Hi, Marian.
Hi, Lisa. For my Kirkus nonfiction audio column, I recently had a little Didion festival, starting with the new recording of her famous 1968 essay collection, Slouching Towards Bethlehem, by actress Maya Hawke. Hawke seems to find the exact blend of unflappability, dry humor, and sensitivity necessary to do justice to Didion's observations about five-year-olds on acid in Haight-Ashbury, John Wayne's demeanor on the set of the last movie he made after his cancer diagnosis, about having a bit of a nervous breakdown in Manhattan in her 20s. She delivers Didion's epiphanies, like discovering the dismal fact that self-respect has nothing to do with the approval of others, with just the right note of ironic self-deprecation. For some readers, there are essays we know almost by heart, like the famous Goodbye to All That and On Keeping a Notebook. For me, this is as close as it gets to reading the Bible. Some of the renewed attention to Didion has been generated by other writers hitching their wagons to her star. Lily Anolik, previously known for her podcast about the Bennington College Brat Pack, Donna Tartt, Jonathan Lethem, and Bret Easton Ellis, and her biography of Eve Babbitts, an essayist, collagist, and party girl who was friends with Didion and her husband, now brings her gossipy, digressive, hold-that-thought style to a book which aims to show that Eve Babbitts and Joan Didion's relationship was central to both of their writing. While Didion and Babbitts, read by the author, may not convince you of this, it's kind of fun to watch her try. Be forewarned, true believers will surely be rubbed the wrong way by some of her wilder assertions about Joan Didion. Memorably, in discussing The Year of Magical Thinking, she asserts that the author, quote, crawled over the corpses of her husband and daughter to reinvigorate her career. Corey Leadbeater spent the last portion of Joan Didion's life as her full-time personal assistant, living for several years in her apartment. Nearly as close to her, he points out more than once, as if they were married. At the same time, he was working hard on writing fiction, was coping with his own addictions and suicidal thoughts, plus dealing with the awful fact that his father had been sentenced to and then actually serving time in prison for fraud. Didion patiently read every word Leadbeater wrote during this period, giving him constant encouragement. But her real gift to them was the story he tells in The Uptown Local, Joy, Death, and Joan Didion. It is a moving and well-written memoir of an unusual relationship that got both participants through very difficult times in their lives. But wait, there's more. Just yesterday, a new biography by Alyssa Wilkinson, We Tell Ourselves Stories, Joan Didion and the American Dream, hit the streets. And next month, Random House is publishing Notes to John, selections from Didion's personal papers and diaries that deal with her alcoholism, depression, and complex relationship with her daughter. Since Didion herself was on the record opposing the practice of publishing work not intended for public consumption after the writer's death, Notes to John is already the subject of controversy. When we get our hands on a copy, the Weekly Reader will be sure to fill you in.
The books are the new audio version of Slouching Toward Bethlehem by Joan Didion, Didion and Babbitts by Lily Anolik, and The Uptown Local by Corey Leadbeater. You can find more information about these titles and our podcast at WIPR.org or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the books at your favorite local bookstore or online at bookshop.org. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marian Winnick.